This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and I'd like you to turn to chapter 4 with me now. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say, then? That is, what conclusion shall we reach? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Now we've already seen that in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the Lord proves that all human beings need the gospel. He proves that we're all sinners, from the down and outer of chapter 1 to the very religious man of chapter 3. And 14 indictments are brought against us in the third chapter, all quoted from the Old Testament, proving that we must have salvation from without. We are not able to produce it from within. And he shows us in the close of chapter 3 that in spite of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it is possible to be justified. Not acquitted, because he couldn't acquit us. We are guilty. But he can justify us. He can count us righteous because of the work of another, because of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus, because of what he calls the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now he brings two witnesses from the Old Testament, which would be very convincing to people who understood the Old Testament, and he was addressing the Jewish people here especially. And if any of my Jewish friends are listening just now, let me plead with you to listen to the testimony of Abraham and David. Now, there are no greater men in the Old Testament. These men were not perfect. No human beings are perfect. These men were sinners. But both of these men were justified. Both of these men were counted righteous with God. Both of these men were what we would call today saved men. Now, Abraham is regarded as the progenitor of the Messiah, the head of the Jewish race. And Abraham is called a man of faith. All who believe in God are said to be the children of Abraham by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. David, God's appointed man for the king, was said to be a man after God's own heart. He made very many and very serious mistakes. But he was a man who was justified by the offerings which he brought. He was a man who knew his sins forgiven. Not a man without sin, but a forgiven sinner. And these two people are introduced now in chapter 4 as proofs that salvation is by grace and not by works. Now he said, what do we say about Abraham? If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. That is, if he had done everything necessary, if he had been good enough for God to save him, that would have put God in the place of a paymaster. That would have made God responsible to pay what he owed him. But yet we have already read in chapter 3 and verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, don't misunderstand me. Of course I believe in good works. Of course I believe in right living, but not for salvation. The Bible teaches that Christians live as they ought to live, not in order to get salvation, but as a proof that they have salvation, and as an expression of appreciation for what God has done for them. Then he goes on to say, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his faith, was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That is, if you work for a man, he owes you that money. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, up until this time, in the book of Romans, we have noticed that righteousness is said to be an attribute of God. God is righteous. The opening chapters of this book present God as light. Now we're beginning to learn about God as love. And later on we shall learn about life. Because when we receive Christ as our Savior, God imputes to us His kind of life. He puts life in us and then enables us to live the life pleasing to Him. Now here is a man, Abraham, who grew up in an idolatrous country, who did not know God, but God spoke to him, and he believed God. The result was that righteousness was imputed or reckoned to him. This word is translated reckoned, imputed, counted, and it simply means it was put to his credit. Now this is something he didn't have before. This is something I don't have. This is something you don't have. We have no righteousness that would make us acceptable with God. But God imputes righteousness, or reckons it, puts it to our credit, when we believe Him. When we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Verse 6 introduces the other witness, even as David also describeth the blessedness or the happiness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Apart from works altogether, God is able to count men righteous, saying, blessed are they, or happy are they, whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I should have my sins reckoned to me. I should have them put down against me in the debit column. But instead of that, God has imputed my sins to Christ. He has transferred them to Him. And He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, so that now God is able to impute to us, to reckon to our credit, righteousness. He is able to count us righteous. And this, in the first 8 verses of Romans 4, is proven to be entirely apart from our works. But there are some who say, but what about the ordinances? And so in verses 9 to 12, he takes up the Jewish ordinance of circumcision. And he points out that this blessedness did not come upon Abraham after he was circumcised at all. Faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness when he was still uncircumcised, before he had received the Jewish ordinance, before he had been marked with the seal of the covenant. Now for us to introduce baptism, or the Lord's Supper, or anything else, and say, this ordinance imputes righteousness to us, this ordinance makes us fit for heaven, is to deny the argument of Romans chapter 4. Now you read carefully through these verses 9 to 12, and you'll see that God blessed Abraham and imputed righteousness to him long before he had received the sign of circumcision. Now, beginning at verse 13, he points out how these things affect us. And he does so by returning to the story of Abraham and saying, now this is why it was so important for Abraham to believe God. First of all, Abraham had absolutely nothing that he could count on apart from God. It wasn't Abraham and God. It wasn't something that Abraham could produce or that Abraham possessed and God's help. But there was nothing. There was not a single thing that Abraham could do except depend upon God's word. Now the message given to Abraham is different from the one given to us. But it was the good news that Abraham needed. The good news you and I need is the good news that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And when we believe this message, apart from our works, apart from ordinances, apart from anything on our part at all, God counts us righteous. It says that Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. That is, there was no hope at all. God had promised him that he would be the father of a son, and he was 100 years old, and Sarah was nearly as old. But it says in verse 20 that he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, do you believe this? Do you believe that God can do what he promised? Well, then, he says in verse 23, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, for us, for you and me, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You and I can be counted righteous. It isn't that God simply says that we are righteous, but that he puts righteousness to our credit. He makes us righteous because we believe him. Now, only God could do this. We read in chapter 3 that only God could be just and still be the justifier of the ungodly. And this he does through the Lord Jesus Christ, because here he says at the close of this chapter, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, the Savior took our place, and I believe in him. I've accepted him as my Savior, and that's why God permits me to know that I am justified. He permits me to know from his word, not that I feel differently, but that God himself has declared that my sins are taken away and that I have been given a righteous standing with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not enjoying this, I hope you'll study this fourth chapter of Romans and believe God, just as Abraham did, that it might be counted to you for righteousness. Father, bless thy word to us. Save those who are not yet saved, and strengthen and help thy dear children. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.